possible, don't you? You might find yourself asking, you know, here's this current situation that I'm facing. How would you handle it? And when given the a response from the wise person, the insights often prove to be truly invaluable. What is wisdom? Well, in a general sense, wisdom may be defined as the ability to make good decisions based on knowledge and experience. Let's break that down a bit, okay? Wisdom is the ability to make good decisions based on knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge are related terms, but they're not synonymous. To have knowledge is to have information about something or to have an understanding about something. To have wisdom is to have the ability to apply knowledge to everyday life. So one can have knowledge without wisdom, but you can't have wisdom without knowledge. So for example, knowledge is the awareness of how to use a gun, while wisdom is the ability to discern when to use it and when to keep it holstered. Wisdom also is the ability to make good decisions based on experience. There's no denying that experience is a great teacher. We all make mistakes, but the wise person learns from his mistakes so he doesn't repeat them again in the future. And I want to suggest this morning that wisdom is a character trait that is sorely missing from our world. One person has said, wisdom is the combination of experience, knowledge, and careful judgment. If you've got it, you're wise. If you haven't, well, don't worry. Most of us haven't either. Our son Rex is a PA student at Franklin Pierce University in the state of New Hampshire. And he came home to visit us this weekend, and he was telling his mom and me about the need to figure out his living situation next year when he's on clinical rotations. Currently, Rex is sharing an apartment with one of the students in the program, but when he's on rotations, Rex will be working at different hospitals up to 150 miles away for 5 weeks at a time. So if he's assigned to one of these hospitals that's almost 150 miles away, he'd like to use an Airbnb rental near the hospital so he doesn't have a long commute every day to work. So he's trying to determine whether or not it would be wise to renew the lease that he has with his current landlord so he can have a home base in between rotations, or if he's assigned a hospital close to where the school is. Well, here's the dilemma. If he chooses to renew the lease, then he's going to be responsible for rent every month at the apartment, plus paying for the Airbnb when he's working for this hospital that could be 150 miles away, and he's on a tight budget. But if he doesn't, he doesn't really have a place to call home. He will be staying with family members or friends or even other students for short periods of time, but basically living out of a suitcase for a year. And neither one of those options sound enticing to him, so he asked me my opinion on what I thought he should do. And my initial response was, I have no idea. I'm clueless. So one of the reasons that I chose to speak on this topic today is because of the awareness that I have for my need to grow in wisdom. And I want to know God's perspective on what is wise, not just the world's perspective. And I suspect that many of you feel the same way. So this morning, I just want to take a little bit of time to share with you some of the key insights that I've learned from a brief study from the Bible on what it has to say about wisdom. And the first thing I want to do is highlight the distinction the Bible makes between biblical wisdom and human wisdom. And let me say this up front, that the Bible does endorse the general definition of wisdom that I presented to you earlier. It just builds on it and tells us that it's meant to be so much more. And I think you'll pick up on that as we work through these passages together. So here's the first insight that I want to share with you today. Biblical wisdom is unique to those who have a relationship with God. That shouldn't surprise you. As a matter of fact, there's a key phrase in the book of Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 that says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And the word fear here is not dread or terror, but a deep, abiding, holy reverence and respect for God and His Word. Until we understand who God is and develop a deep reverence for Him, we cannot have true wisdom in our lives. I also want you to consider Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, where we read, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding." You understand that biblical wisdom does not come natural for us. It's not something that we can produce on our own. It's actually a gift from God. God is all wise, and His wisdom is vastly superior to any human wisdom. And if we are to view life circumstances from God's perspective, we need His wisdom, something that He's promised to give those to who are in right relationship with Him. The second insight that I wanted to share with you is this: human wisdom is based on knowledge and experience apart from God's word. David writes in Psalm chapter 19, verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple." You see, an unbeliever will seek to become wise through book knowledge and personal experience, but he will not seek to understand the world from God's perspective as revealed through His word. Therefore, the unbeliever's point of view is severely limited. We see this truth played out in Jesus' parable of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. Here Jesus tells the story of a farmer whose land yielded an abundant harvest, so much so that he didn't have enough room in his existing barns to hold all of the current crops. So he decides to build bigger barns so he can have plenty of grain laid up for future years, for many years, and he can retire. But God says to the man, "You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" And the point of Jesus' parable is made clear in verse 21, where he says, "This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." You see, the rich farmer thought that he was being wise by building bigger barns, but God called him a fool, because his actions were done without any consideration for what God would have him to do. And in the end, the farmer's wise choice ended up being his demise. The third insight that I wanted to share with you is connected to the last one. You know, we may think of a fool as being someone who lacks intelligence or common sense, but the Bible views foolishness as a moral issue rather than a mental issue. In Psalm chapter 14, verse 1, we read, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." So no matter how wise somebody may be from a human perspective, if they deny the existence of God, if they exclude God from their life, God declares them to be a fool. Nearly three dozen proverbs in the book of Proverbs contrast wise and foolish behavior. Persons who do not possess wisdom are called fools. Their behavior is called folly. Listen to some of these contrasts. Proverbs 14, verse 9, "Fools mock at making amends for sin, but goodwill is found among the upright." Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29, "Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly." In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 5, "A fool spurns a parent's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence." Did you notice that in each of these proverbs we see that foolishness has nothing to do with a lack of common sense, but it has everything to do with a lack of morality? The fourth insight is this: biblical wisdom results in godly living. Many people want to become wise so that they will be respected by others. And though wisdom may provide a measure of worldly success and recognition, that's not its primary purpose. Biblical wisdom brings us into alignment with God's purpose and way of life. We see this in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. And in this passage, James contrasts two kinds of wisdom. Human wisdom is self-centered and is characterized by envy and selfish ambition. On the other hand, biblical wisdom is God-centered and others-centered and is characterized by mercy, peace, and righteousness. Much of the Christian life is learning how to live wisely. The ancient Hebrews associated wisdom with our modern term skill, although skill is not a direct translation of the Hebrew term. Skill implies what wisdom is in actual practice, excellence in quality or expertise in the practice of one's occupation, craft, or art. People may acquire many skills in life, but the Bible focuses on human life and its God-given purpose. Therefore, in essence, biblical wisdom is skill in living according to God's way of life. I like what John Piper has to say about this. He writes, "It is not enough to say that wisdom is a humble hearing and doing of God's word, because God's word does not address itself specifically to every human dilemma. Therefore, wisdom must go beyond knowing and doing the word of God. Wisdom must include a sensitive, mature judgment or discernment of how the fear of the Lord should work itself out in all the circumstances not specifically dealt with in the Bible." So he's mentioning how challenging God's truth to life can be. A famous example from Solomon's life will illustrate this point. I want to encourage you to open up your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3. You can find that on page 232 of the Pew Bible. 1 Kings, chapter 3, and I'm going to be reading verses 16 to 28. I have a study Bible. And in this chapter, this section of the chapter, there's a heading. It says, "A Wise Ruling." Follow along as I read. "Now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, 'Pardon me, my lord. This woman and I live in the same house, and I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. The next morning, I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son I had born. The other woman said, 'No, the living one is my son. The dead one is yours.' But the first one insisted, 'No, the dead one is yours, the living one is mine.' And so they argued before the king. The king said, 'This one says, my son is alive and your son is dead. Well, that one says, no, your son is dead and mine is alive.' Then the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So they brought a sword for the king. He then gave an order, 'Cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other.' The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, 'Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him.' But the others said, 'Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two.' Then the king gave his ruling, 'Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother.' And the story concludes with this observation in verse 28. When all Israel heard the verdict of the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. Notice that although it was Solomon's responsibility as king to render a just judgment in this case, there was no biblical command to tell Solomon what to do when two harlots claim the same baby. Solomon needed wisdom to know how to deal with this particular case, and God gave Solomon the wisdom he needed when he needed it. And when we are clueless as to what we should do in a given situation, and we turn to God for wisdom, he will do the same for us. Here's another biblical example of our need to learn how to live wisely. It comes from Proverbs chapter 26, verses 4 and 5. I believe this is up on the screen behind me, so I encourage you to look at these verses. We read, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him." The next proverb says, "Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes." So which is it? Are we to answer a fool according to his folly or not? And the answer is, there are times when we should answer a fool, and there are times that we should not. It takes wisdom to know the difference. The wise person must know what kind of fool that he's dealing with. Is this a fool who will not learn and will simply sap time and energy from us? If so, we shouldn't bother answering them. But if this is a fool who can learn and not answering will lead to further problems, then by all means answer him. Wisdom, it's what we need. We often think of wisdom as a quality that's possessed by pastors and professors and published authors, but God calls every Christian to be wise. Using the language of a father instructing his son, Solomon writes in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 8, "Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you." Can you picture the father talking to his son about this particular issue? Get wisdom at whatever cost, because in the end, wisdom will protect you. If you have wisdom, you will be honored by God and honored by men. So do whatever it takes to get wisdom. So how do we get wisdom? As we finish up today, I just want to suggest six practical applications. Number one, it begins with desiring wisdom. We need to desire wisdom. Solomon writes in Proverbs 2, 1 through 5, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." You see, again, what the Father is saying? You need to search for wisdom as if you were searching for a hidden treasure. You need to desire it as much as you would the valuables that would be in that treasure chest. It has to be of utmost importance to you to have wisdom. And if you pursue it, if you desire it, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So it begins with the desire. Do you have any desire for wisdom? Or are your desires focused elsewhere? Number two, ask God for wisdom. That's what James tells us in his letter, chapter 1, verse 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." And as you look at the context in which James writes this verse, he gives a caution as well that when we ask for wisdom, we have to be patient, because God gives it through the experiences of living within a relationship with him. And living requires time. And in some cases, a great deal of time, because we're slow to learn. So be patient and wait for the wisdom that God promises to give to those who ask. Third application, read the book of Proverbs. This book of Proverbs in the Old Testament primarily focuses on wisdom, and it gives direction on how to handle different aspects of life, one's relationship with God, marriage, dealing with finances, work, friendships, persevering in difficult situations faced in life. It touches on so many different things. And so I want to encourage you, today's September the 1st, I think there's 30 chapters in the book of Proverbs. So start today and read one chapter a day, and then tomorrow read the next chapter and the next chapter, and you'll get through the whole book of Proverbs in a month. And then if it's been helpful to you, pick it up again in October and do the same thing. And if you're parents with children at home, I think this is a great book of the Bible to study or to read together with your children. There are some devotionals that are available that take the book of Proverbs and break it down into different categories, so that if you wanted, you could spend several days or weeks seeing what the book of Proverbs has to say about being a good steward of your money, and you could just choose to spend time as a family focusing on that and then moving on to another category. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Teach it to your children. And also, as you read and study it yourself, seek to apply it to your life so that you are a good role model for your kids. Number four, hang out with the wise. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says, walk with the wise and become wise. Whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not, you're going to become like the people that you hang out with. So if you want to be a fool, hang out with the fools. If you want to be wise, hang out with those who are wise. Number five, accept counsel from the wise. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. I want to challenge you this morning to not to be wise in your own eyes. In other words, don't think that you have the answers to everything. You don't. None of us do. And so we need to welcome other people into our lives to speak into our lives, speak God's truth, speak wisdom to us so that we can make better decisions. And so I've had men in my life that have been wise mentors to me, and I am grateful for those men helping me to see things that I wouldn't see on my own. And the wisdom that God has given them is shared with me. And then finally, number six, apply wisdom. We can talk about wisdom all day. You can read the book of Proverbs for the next month. But unless you're in specific situations and making a decision that I'm going to seek to apply wisdom here and now, it's not going to make any difference. And you're not going to grow any wiser. So a good question to ask yourself when you're faced with a situation where you just don't know what to do is to say, in this situation, what is the wise thing to do? And allow God to bring to your mind things that you've read and studied in God's word, or things that other believers have shared with you on other occasions. And if nothing comes immediately to mind and you have the opportunity, then put off making that decision temporarily until it becomes clear to you as to what you should do. But it is a good habit to get into to ask yourself that question. In this situation, what is the wise thing to do? And I think if you begin to do that, that you'll find that God will show you. He will give you direction in many of those cases. You know, the phrase next time is one that's filled with big regrets. Next time I'll ask for help. Next time I'll be a better spouse. Next time I'll think before I speak. But we've seen today that the Bible gives us the wisdom that we need to make right decisions this time instead of next time. So it's time to pursue wisdom now. It's time to transfer out of the school of hard knocks now. It's time to wise up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you how your truth reveals to us your wisdom and your mind so that we can live in ways that honor and glorify you. Today, Lord, my first prayer is for those who may be here who do not yet have a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. Because those individuals don't even have the opportunity to gain access to you, to your wisdom. And so I pray for them today as a result of what we've shared from your word, that your spirit would be at work in their hearts and that they would see their need for you in their lives and would have the opportunity to put their faith in Christ. For those of us who are here today who already have a relationship with you, the one true God, my prayer is that we would grow in wisdom, that we would consider what your word has to say regarding the distinction between human wisdom and godly wisdom, and we would seek to grow in godly wisdom and take some of those steps that were mentioned, enable for that to happen. And we do it while we depend on you to work in our lives and to give us wisdom to a greater and greater degree each day as we pursue it and desire it and ask for it. And so, Lord, this week I pray for each one, including myself, that we would have the opportunity to get wisdom and to grow in it. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen.